Welcome to Physique Star Radio, brought to you by Myotropics and Dr. Scott Connolly. Here are your hosts, Ian Lauer and Vince Andrich.
Welcome to Physique Star Radio. You're here with your hosts, Vince Andrich, and myself, Ian Lauer. We're here to help you build your best physique and teach you how to make it work for you. Vince, I heard you're doing some great impersonations these days.
Well, you know, I'm working on my Ian Lauer impersonation, but I haven't quite got it down yet.
Just work on Dahl and Boring and you'll have it down.
Yeah, you got those two covered?
That's my forte.
Yeah.
Can you have two fortes? I guess you must be able to.
You could have four. If you would like to have fortes, you could have four fortes.
I think it's spelled differently, though. So we got a big weekend coming up. Sorry to cut you off there, but I'm sure our listeners want to hear a little bit about what's coming up in the physique world.
That's right.
So this weekend coming up, the IFBB Pro Grand Prix Men's Physique Show. So what do you expect at that show?
Well, I tell you what, I think there's going to be a lot of competitors. I know several that are going to be competing, two of which are with Myotropics. So we got Matt Christianer and we've got Angel Cordero. We're both going to be competing, coming in from out of state. And then Tommy Reynolds might even be competing. I'm not sure. But that is a possibility. And then there's some other people that are coming in town. I think Dave Palumbo is coming in town. He's not to compete, though.
No, I heard he was crossing over to men's physique and was planning on taking it by storm. But I think he's going to sit it out one more month is what he told me.
He's going to dry out one more month. Yeah. Oh, no, man. Water. No water for 6 weeks. That'll do it.
Oh, I'm never going to hear the end of that, I can imagine. I'm going to get the email tomorrow with all capital letters. You know how he likes to do that. Capital letters. But no, actually, you know what? I have a roster pulled up here, and I'm not sure if this is complete or not, but it looks like we're going to have Miguel Aguilar from Temecula, Bobby Asherson from Scottsdale, Alex Conero from Colorado, of course, Matt Christianer, that is, Angel Cordero, as you mentioned. Looks like Ryan Hughes is going to make his pro debut, and looks like Tyler Larson is going to step on stage as well.
Awesome.
So we're going to have a lot of repeats from the first pro show. It'll be interesting to see how these guys fare this time. I remember Bobby came in a little, well, let's just say not quite as full as I think he would like to at the last show. So this show will be interesting to see if he comes in a little more carved up and how that plays out for him. Be also interesting to see what happens with Christian. I mean, all these guys, you know, because we have a lot of the same guys with Christianer. Let me see. We have Christianer, Cordero, and Alex Carnero. Like, those were your top three guys. They're all back again, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yep.
What do you think will happen in comparison to the last show? You think it's going to go 1, 2, 3 the same, or you think we're going to have a little shuffling?
You know, I'm not experienced enough to know how these are going to shake out. I don't know if anybody has enough, visibility to all these guys on stage. It's going to be early on now. It's going to kind of be, anyone's guess until we start seeing a pattern.
I think you're right with that. I think it is anyone's game, really. And, you know, as we start looking at the shows here on the West Coast and we start moving east across the country, then we should start to see that physique that they're looking for become more prevalent and more and winning more of the shows. But early on, I mean, the guys, they're all doing well and coming in shape. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, well, you're going to be there, aren't you?
Oh, I'm going to be there. Yeah, I'm going to be putzing around, and I don't know that I'll be in the board shorts, but I will be there because at intermission, after prejudging before finals, there will be the RX Muscle and Myotropics seminar going on, talking about nutrition. Can you let the folks know a little bit about that?
Sure. So, if you're at the event, which is the Grand Prix at the Vet. It's in Culver City. So if you're at John Lindsay's Amateur Grand Prix, for prejudging, right after prejudging ends, we're going to be getting set up for a seminar featuring Dr. Scott Connolly and Dave Palumbo. And I'll probably be, I guess, moderating it. And we'll have other people on the panel, including yourself, Ian.
Yes, sir.
We're hopefully going to have Matt Kirshner, Tommy Reynolds, Francine Sablon, who's a top figure competitor, and Angel Cordero, at least from the myotropic side. And we may have some other special guests there. But I know Dr. Connolly's got a real nice presentation that he's going to put up, and Dave has some stuff he wants to mention. So it's going to be good. It's somewhat formatted, but somewhat loosely geared for Q&A and an open discussion on at some point. And then we also have a couple special treats there, not only some new product, Physique 2.0, but also we will have food.
Food is good. People
We're
like
going to have food because everyone's hungry after prejudging. So we're just building the wall right now so that people don't get mobbed when they try to get a chicken breast at prejudging. But we will have some food. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to get that parsed out because you know how everybody's just so hungry.
Right. So, yeah, there will be a certain amount of food, so we'll have to figure out exactly how many people we can let in. But do plan on making it to this event. It should be a good one. And the Q&A makes it essential for anyone that really wants to expand their knowledge and improve their body.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And the other thing is, you know, we'll have, I don't think anybody's ever come and been able to try the real Physique 2.0 product. So we're going to have that there. I think we have some other shirts that are branded shirts and some other knickknacks, I think.
Some paddywhacks.
Some other knickknacks for people, you know, to I know some of the athletes have some specially made shirts with stuff on them, so it's going to be kind of fun. It's going to be like the Price is Right, you know. Come on down.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Well, so these guys they're getting ready for the show, and I mean, obviously, we're all going to be there, but the guys that are competing are closing in on show date here, and a lot of times they're bumping up cardio. And I wanted to ask you what your thought was on cardio, morning or night or middle of the day, all day. What's your belief?
Well, if you're going for just what the science, it seems like the science was says, you know, it used to be the conventional wisdom was, you know, go in the morning on empty stomach. Then they've kind of figured that that doesn't necessarily work. You actually burn more fat and calories if you have something in your stomach. But I think whenever you can get it done, if you're a morning person, fine. If you're not, fine. I've always been able to do, when I'm in that mode, do the cardio early, but I can't really do the weights early for me. So that's a perfect time to switch to the cardio. And, you know, as far as contest prep, I always try to get by with as little as possible until the very end. You know, my whole idea is toward the end, you're basically pushing towards being overtrained and then you pull back. So, like, right now, you would already have pulled back if I was doing something for this weekend. But you basically, when you get ready to start, it's the old kind of bulking up and going heavy. But instead of bulking up and going heavy, it's just less volume. And then you increase the volume as you keep going towards the event. And that includes the cardio.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm on the same boat when it comes to morning or evening. It really comes down to what's going to work for you. If you burn 250 calories or 275 calories in a given cardio session, it really doesn't make that big of a difference so long as you get it done. And just like strength training, it's consistency that's key. If you do cardio once a week, the benefits are going to be next to nothing. But if you're getting it done 4, 5, 6 days a week, then that's when you're really going to see it. And to get that done, it has to be at a time you're going to want to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe for you, it's something that gets you out of bed. You get your cup of Joe and hop on the treadmill. If that's what works for you, then by all means, make it happen. Or if it's at night, if you want to avoid going home, and then you can just go to the gym and treadmill for 4 hours, right?
Well, some guys, you know, they don't get to watch SportsCenter unless they're, like, at the gym putzing on the bike. So, hey, it's a reason to watch a little Monday Night Football when that's going on, or SportsCenter. You can't really get that at home. You know, it's on lockdown. You know how that is. We were just talking about Chris Rock. You know, guy got to drink something. He's got to drive somewhere before he comes home because he's, like, on lockdown once walks in the house. Sometimes that's the way it goes.
Oh, yeah. When you come home, TV's off, you're sitting at the dinner table, there's no SportsCenter.
Yeah, it's not much SportsCenter. Although it's kind of like a free-for-all over here. We got it all going on over here. There's really no rhyme or reason here. No.
Well, that's the beauty of the laptop and being able to stream television and shows straight to it, because then you can watch your show wherever, whenever.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
See what Cardi... But, you know, for personally, when it comes to my cardio, I like to read. Now, and I know that's not terribly exciting, but I find that I won't read if I'm just sitting in a chair, and I won't do cardio if I'm not reading, so it's the perfect combo. I actually can get some good reading done, and keeps my mind off of the cardio as I can crank off some calories.
Well, that's actually good. I mean, I don't know if would you use an electronic book reader or no?
Well, I use picture books, so I don't have to actually read words. I use...
No wonder the crayons are always gone and cold when I get there.
Do you remember the big crayons, the big stuff? I don't remember what they were called. They were just huge crayons, so you wouldn't break them on accident. But that's really a tangent. Let's get back to the matter at hand. When it comes to reading, I still prefer to turn a paper page.
Yeah.
Is that bizarre? Do you have a Kindle, a Fire? Do you use your iPad?
I don't have either of those. I have an iPhone, but I can read books on there. Well, a lot of people don't like it. I've done it on the treadmill or the bike in the gym. Done it wherever. I mean, a lot of people go, it's too small, but for me, I don't know. The whole iPad thing seems like a waste unless you could, like, really do some other work on it, because I can.
Well, I've heard you're used to hearing that, though. I heard you're used to hearing that, Vince.
That I'm useless unless I can do some work.
No, I was alluding to something else, but that's neither here nor there.
The
great thing to do is to go to iTunes and download Physique Star Radio when you're doing your cardio. That's really the thing to do.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even. I have done that, actually. I've done that several times. But I actually used to do it with a heavy muscle. And the other thing.
Cardio to heavy muscle. I was really confused to it for a second.
Yeah. No, actually, Francine, she posted something the other day. She said, I think it's not Pandora, it was something else. She's got some service where she's like, she goes to the gym, she never has to worry about any music. She's got all kinds of stuff. I guess it's better than Pandora or something. I forget what
it is. Is it Sirius? Sirius, maybe?
No, I'd have to go look for it. But
just internet.
It's internet, but it's a known service, but it seems like they kind of upgraded it to being able to, like, have unlimited access to all kinds of stuff. For like $10 a month or something. So,
Maybe Spotify or Redditas.
It might be.
I mean, with a name like Redditas, you couldn't forget it if that were it, or was it, or if either of those were it.
Yeah, or maybe if both of them were it, right? Then you'd really never forget it.
If it were both of them, yeah. You know, we're getting a note coming in from our producer, and he's suggesting it's the Lauer Pod. Lauerpod.
Lauerpod.com
is coming up. It won't be long. The only song, it'll be Oh Danny Boy, and then the Irish Jig will be going on all the time.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome.
But speaking of the Irish Jig, no, that's really not a segue at all, but we're just going to go with it anyway. Coming up after this short commercial break is Christian Boving. Not an Irish name, but he will be with us. If you don't know Christian Boving, well, stay tuned. He's got a lot to say.
Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at general nutrition centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Welcome back to Physique Star Radio. You're here with your host, Finn Standrich, and myself, Ian Lauer. Joining us now is Christian Boving. Christian, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic. How are you, Ian?
Oh, wonderful. So thank you for joining us. I tried to use an Irish reference, and that would make you Christian O. Boving, but that's not the case. Boving is apparently German, as you were telling us during our commercial break.
Yes, it is.
So, Christian, some of our people that are listening right now may not know exactly your history when it comes to being in the fitness industry. Could you give us a little breakdown as to companies you've worked with and what you've experienced?
Sure thing. I've been in the business about 20 years. Coming out here in 1996, wanted to be a bodybuilder until I walked into Gold's Gym and immediately saw Flex Wheeler, Chris Cormier, Paul DeWitt, these guys. And I was 300 pounds, but I just did not look like that, nor did I feel anymore that I wanted to look like that. And there was no such thing, quite honestly, as a fitness model back then. There were a couple of guys that had gotten a couple of clips named Michael Hearn and Frank Seppi, and I kind of liked the way they looked. They weren't bodybuilders per se, but they weren't the skinny, fitnessy guy that people perceived to be fitness back then. And, I looked at Mike, and he's this Italian guy, so I thought, where could I fit in? Because, the most important thing in fitness, I think, if you're going to be a fitness celebrity, fitness star, or having a star, is you got to find your niche. And so I figured my niche would be, hey, if I can do it, you can do it, guy. I'd be the everyday guy, the Indiana Jones, as you will, guy. And that's kind of how I got started. So, believe it or not, a little trivia. Back then, the term fitness model was actually coined for Frank and myself and Mike. That's how long we've been around. But there was no such thing. So all of a sudden, that became a popular image. And the fitness model was kind of born. It's like we were a crossbreed between bodybuilder and fitness. Now the fitness guys seem to be a little smaller, where we hovered in the 240-pound range in shape. Most fit guys seem to be like 190, 200 now, but that's kind of where I got started, and from that, I got really lucky. it was a different animal back then, you know. There was kind of a new age. So a guy that was doing the morning shows on ESPN saw me and immediately brought me on to star on an ESPN series called Co-Ed Training, which I did for 4 years. And, one thing always leads to another, you know. It's a relationship business. So, you know, that led to movies, which I got a part in Batman and Robin. And so those three things all fed each other. So the more movies I did, the more television I did, the more fitness magazine covers I could be on. And I just got very, very lucky. So that is kind of the basis of my career. And, again, it's the relationship thing. I know a lot of people out there, they go on a shoot or something like that, and they feel like the photographer should thank them. You know, it boggles my mind, because for me, I appreciated it so much. I mean, they're the ones making my career happen. The fans reading the magazines and wanting to buy the covers or wanting to watch the things you're starring in are the ones that make it happen. So we're the ones who should be appreciative. And so I would just thank them, you know, profusely. And it always boggled my mind that they'd go, "Why are you thanking us? Nobody thanks us." It's like, "You kidding me? If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here." So, I think a lot of that gets lost in the process sometimes. But that's really the most important thing, I think, to remember.
So relationships, and you're right, it's a business, and you have to think of building those business relationships.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, I always thought, you know, there's a better looking guy out there than me. There's a guy with a better body than me. But I can control my work ethic, which I promise you no one will work harder than me. And I promise you I'll be in shape. And I promise you I'll be easy to work with. And I also realized, you know, to get into the whole supplement side, this was also at a time when contracts were new. My first contract was with Sport Pharma in 1996 to 1997. And, that's when Muscle saw me. They were coming out with a new product, Hydroxycut. And Rachel Moore and I were the benefactors of being in the right place at the right time. They saw me on ESPN. I was having a new show coming out called Battle Dome. And I had a lot of momentum behind me. So, you know, I would walk in. And the thing is, for a cover, I don't know, you get $300 to $500 maybe for a cover shoot. I would always go in and I would say, "Look, don't pay me for the cover. I want no money. And I'll bring the girl with me. I'll come up with some ideas. I'll be easy to work with." And they would scratch their heads and go, "No money. You must be an idiot." But to me, I know these guys. I know the photographers. And basically, if they can work with you for free, you're going to show up in shape. There may be somebody else you're thinking about, but at the end of the day, you're going to take precedence because you're, again, easy to work with. You're free. And I would take one cover opportunity and turn it into a 10. And so then I'd walk into these companies and I'd say, "Hey, look, I'm not just Christian Boving, the athlete or the fitness model or the actor. I'm Christian Boving, the athlete, fitness model, actor who can guarantee you 60 covers worldwide and magazine exposure and interviews before you put your spin on it." So I'm a one-man marketing machine. And they would look at that and, "Wow, that's way more bang for our buck." And they'd pay me 10 times more than anybody else that they bring on, because they get a lot out of the money. So in the end, I'm getting paid for those covers, a lot more than I would be getting paid if I took it singularly. So it, you just have to be smart about it. You just have to be smart about it. You always have to, you know, come with your game face, always show up in shape, always be humble, and always have an idea of where you want to go. You know, always have that future plan of what you're doing this for.
Right. Well, and you and I talked a while back about social media, and I mean, that's obviously changed the game from 20 years ago. But, you know, talking about, you know, I can get you covers and all this different exposure. What are your thoughts on Twitter following and Facebook and LinkedIn and all of these?
Man, I tell you, it's changed in the years that I've been here. It's on one hand, I think it's great. And on the other hand, it's really, you know, what hurt our industry. The way it's great, obviously, is you reach millions of people instantaneously. And it's the same reason it's bad. Anybody can be a fitness model now, or anybody can try to be. I mean, if you think about it, you have 12 magazine covers put out a year. So who they pick for a cover is really essentially who they're counting on to sell that magazine. It's a really important figurehead position to be in. But now the market is inundated with so many people And there's really no really way to differentiate who they consider to be the best, because there's not really any clear-cut leaders of this industry, really. And also, there's so many people that the magazines, I believe, have lost the whole basis of how they created superstars in the first place. I mean, back when we were doing magazines, we weren't just images. We were people with philosophies. You knew about us. You had these articles called, Star Profile. You didn't just see the images. You knew who the people were behind those images. And we've kind of gotten lost in that now. Now we're more two-dimensional. Just, a guy wearing sunglasses screaming doing biceps. First of all, I never understood that image. I don't know about you, but I don't wear sunglasses or scream when I'm doing biceps. But, it's just, there's no explanation to who that person is. So there's no, quote-unquote hero for these fans and the leaders to gravitate to. It's like wrestling. You watch wrestling not for the incredible wrestling moves, but for the characters. So we've lost those characters now. Now, I really think in order to get bodybuilding and fitness back to the popularity that it could have been and it was heading towards, there's a reason bodybuilding is dying. There's a reason its subscription rates are down 70%. They're not down because they're doing it the right way. They're down because they're doing it the wrong way. When was it the most popular? When Arnold was around. Why was Arnold most popular? Because of his, his body, of course, but his charisma.
Right. Yeah.
He was and now who do you consider to be cool?
I've had this debate. I agree with you, Christian. I've had this debate with, a lot of different magazine publishers, and I've been inside many of these places. And I think they get afraid of personalizing the athletes and making other stars, so to speak, out of their title, because they want to be the star of the title, or they think if it's an anonymous title, then let's just say AMI, for example, owns the title, but there's no real leading personality. To me, that's a mistake. Okay, it's like 60 Minutes. Mike Wallace had some. He just passed away. Had some ridiculous interviews. That's why you watch that show. You wanted to see what he did.
No, I watched Randy Rooney, but that's
see my point. I want to know what someone's opinion is. What's your point of view?
Mm-hmm.
That's what reading and learning is about, is to find out what other, and you have to take a shot at people. I mean, when I was at EAS, at one point I was bringing in writers, and another magazine wouldn't bring in Pavel Satsaline. I don't know if you guys recognize him. He's the guy who brought kettlebells really over here from Russia, the authentic guy, Russian Kettlebell Challenge. And no one would publish his stuff. And first time I ever read it, it was like, this guy's amazing. And Jim Wright turned me on to him. Jim from the old Flex and Muscle Fitness. And it's like he just needed a shot. But he became a personality because of his writing style. And you could just see that he was going to make the magazine better. You gave him an opportunity. It's not just a flat... just writer, okay, write me an article. That's not what you want. You want somebody with a point of view. This guy had such vast knowledge in his background that he could bring to an article. You could just tell the difference, the depth, and that's what's missing in the magazines. It's more of quantity. I want to just give a bunch of articles out. It's 6 weeks to summer, and it's da-da-da, and it's da-da-da. These are all catchy. Get them out.
Stuff.
Boom.
Famous
yeah.
Stuff.
Doesn't work that way.
Somebody else's name. Remember Rick Wayne? Like, I loved Rick
Wayne. Of course.
They were the best. I mean, when I started writing myself, I always thought, you know what? Everyone put out an article or anything that somebody reads, and someone else going to be like, wow, you're absolutely nothing like what I thought. The same thing with the image. I had a deal with the magazine that said, do not airbrush my images. I don't want to appear larger, smaller, wider teeth. Whatever. I want the image to be who I am. If I look out of shape, don't use the image. Because these guys, it's so weird. And that's another problem with the internet. People can go off and play with their own images. I call it your media representative. Meaning the representative. They want you to believe that they're white. And I don't know, there's something, I'm old school. I really like still opening a magazine and those things. But back to the reader, or back to the writing, don't you? Absolutely right. I mean, it's just regurgitated, same stuff, different day. I mean, really, do we all know how to train our bison? Do we really need to know stuff? No, yes, but it's not anymore. And before, it was about lifestyle. Why did I come to Venice in the first place? Because I read the magazines, and it looked awesome. I mean, I said, I want to be a part of that. Now, really, if you read the magazines, do you even get a sense of what that is anymore? I mean, really, it doesn't exemplify any of the what it used to be anymore, to me at least.
No, the culture is gone, and that's what brought people here. People want to belong to something. That's why they wanted to belong to something that an Arnold belonged to. Because they're like, that guy's got something going on. I wanted some of that. Now, that's how it works.
Exactly. And that's also what we're missing. I mean, you knew Arnold. I mean, the thing is, I always equated to this, too. If you saw Arnold's silhouette, or Frank Zane's silhouette, or Franco Colombo's silhouette, or Dave Draper's silhouette, you knew the silhouette, you knew who they were, what they stood for, their personalities, all of that. Now you see a silhouette and you just go, who is that? And you don't know, you don't even care. I mean, we've got to get back the personality side of the sport, number one, and kind of just make it more, again, just personalize it more. I think
you're 100% right there. You know, everybody can take a picture, but you have to be not a fitness model anymore. You need to be a fitness personality. If you're a fitness model, you're a dime a dozen. Your pictures will come and go, and you'll make about $100, and you might as well just not even make the trip out here. But if you are a personality, and you're going to back up what you're saying, then you have a shot, a really good shot, if you're willing to put in the work.
And well, Christian, again, relationships. I mean, you know, I met you, I don't know when you got here, but I met you, and I remember seeing, here's a new breed of guy, this guy right here. And the things that you've been telling me, I'm too big, I'm not this, I'm not that. It's like, really, come on. If this Vince Cervique has such a wonderful opportunity to pick up where bodybuilding started to fail. They really do. But I mean, come on, get the hell off this stuff about don't trade your calves and like, that's just stupid. I mean, really, I mean, chemically. I mean, really, come on, let's be symmetrical. I mean, guys are
you see me in there doing legs twice a week, every week.
Yeah, exactly. But let's not show the body part that's the hardest one to train. Let's just forget about that. I mean, come on. So,
where I stand, I hope at some point they do in the near future bring out a shorter short. I mean, showing the full physique. I'd love to see that.
They need to see that.
You don't buy a Lamborghini without wheels on it.
There you go.
You don't buy a Lamborghini with all its spare tires. Come on.
I don't buy a Lamborghini anyway. I wish I could, but But Christian, I know you have to get to a dinner. I want to thank you for joining us. For our listeners, Christian took time to. He was avoiding the state patrol and chips and all that as he was traveling to his dinner from work. So Christian, thanks so much for joining us. Any last thoughts for our listeners?
You know what? I'd love to see a new breed of these guys come out. You know, I know you're one of them, Ian, and Vince and I have been around long enough to stand by and see a lot of people come and go, and I haven't seen anybody really come in a long, long time. So come on, guys. Get some personality and get the hell off your asses and get in the magazines and, you know, write into the magazine. Start to ask for what you want to see. You know what you're missing. If you don't know what you're missing, go back and read some of the old magazines that made us popular.
Amen, man. You gotta start some shit because you ain't going to motivate anybody sitting on your hands, are you?
Exactly. No, you're not. No, you're
right?
not. I mean,
somebody motivated you awfully good, and me too, so you owe it back. Get off your ass,
Ian.
Come on.
I'm working at it. I'm trying. I'm sitting here on a radio show instead of writing these magazines.
Damn, boy.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
See, I entered in the social media where I never did. So good job. You taught me something today.
Thank you. Well, Christian, thanks so much for joining us. Hope to have you back on again when you have a little more time and we can enlighten our listeners a bit more.
That'd be a great thing. Thank you very, very much for inviting me.
So, Vince, I mean, that's a lot of the same stuff we've heard before when it comes to building. It didn't use the phrase building your brand, but building relationships and supporting that with your brand, I think, is the essence of what Christian was getting at there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he started alluding to some brand identity, I guess, tags that he was throwing out there, like, working with photographers saying he doesn't going to get paid, and I've heard that before, and so he could just basically get more coverage. So hey, however you do it, it's a business. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. Well, there could be a wrong way, but there's no exact roadmap. You just got to get your hustle on.
Well, you're right. There is no exact roadmap, and it's finding your way. And it's funny you should say there's no roadmap, because I was actually speaking with a pretty well-known fitness model who's been around in the game nearly as long as Christian, Diego Sebastian. And he was talking about, he was saying back when he started, there was not a fitness model as a term. So basically this would have been, you know, right around the days when Christian started. And it was just finding your own path, because there isn't an easy road for everyone. You may have to take a number of different turns before you find your way.
Yep.
But I think the important thing is to stick true to your vision along that process.
Very good. Yeah. he's counting a lot on you. I'm trying to figure out why. But. No.
I don't know what I said. I met Christian would have been, oh man, about 6-9 months ago, because he was wearing a Jamcore t-shirt, and you know Jammo Nazar. We had him on the show not long ago, and of course you know him anyway. And I was shooting with Jammo the next week, talking about getting out there and trying to make things happen when you may not be getting paid up front, but you're working to build that brand. And I knew I was going to be working with Jammo in a week, and I saw Christian. I knew of him through the magazines, and that's when I approached Christian, just introduced myself. And, you know, talk about you don't know what to expect, and you anticipate that someone's going to be a certain way. And Christian was not what I expected. You know, was just bent over backwards to be helpful and guiding. And, you know, it's really good to see that. And I do believe that he wants to see some of these other guys step up and really kind of, I guess, pick up the torch and run with it.
Yep.
So I think it was a really a good amount of information for our listeners and take home. Just build those relationships.
Yeah, I think there's a whole group of guys out there waiting.
Well, you know, he's talking about, you know, the magazines and building your identity. I think now with YouTube and your blog, you can build your identity, and it's up to you as the athlete to make sure you build that identity. And then if you're in the magazine, you know, if you get name recognition, it'll shoot people back to your blog and your YouTube, and then people will get to know you, even if the magazine's not doing it themselves. So that's just something to think about. Build your brand, build your identity, and of course, just like Christian said, build those relationships. Speaking of relationships, we have a couple guys coming on after us that have been in the game and have known each other for quite a while. Dave Palumbo and Dr. Conley will be following us after this with Muscle University.
Now, it's time for Muscle University Radio. With Dave Palumbo and Dr. Scott Connolly.
Welcome to another edition of Muscle University. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm here with Dr. Scott Connolly, the owner of Myotropics Physique Nutrition. Today, Scott, I decided we're going to do a little call-in question, or I shouldn't say call-in, well, at least questions submitted by the listeners, because a lot of our listeners, you know, seem to take a really dramatic interest in the show, and they have a lot of their own questions, and I think sometimes we kind of, you know, shape the show around what we like. So here it goes. This is, I thought, was the best question we received. It's kind of general in a sense, but I think it's important to really get a grip on it, because it has a lot to do with, you know, whether you're going to recover optimally or you're not going to recover optimally. Scott, what's the optimal dose of whey protein post-workout? And I heard you say 30 grams before, but then there's guys that weigh like 260 pounds. Is that optimal for them? Is there any new research to really, you know, shed a light on this?
Yeah, actually, just very recently, there was another publication from the McMaster Group in Canada, which, you know, I've considered for a long time to be the premier, you know, research people for this particular area of applied nutrition and resistance training, as they have a wide spectrum of very talented individuals with different skill sets and areas of the molecular are really required to paint a picture of what's really going on at the cellular level. And they asked a pretty interesting question recently in a study that was published ahead of print about 2-3 weeks ago. And the question they asked was that, given the fact that there now are several studies utilizing human subjects in very sophisticated methods that show that there is sort of an optimal response to fractional muscle protein synthesis in the post-exercise period to approximately, you know, 20, 25 grams of whey protein, which would deliver, on average, given the usual composition of aminos and whey, about between 2.5 and 3 grams of leucine. And what they wanted to know was whether or not the leucine component of this particular delivery of protein amino acid mixture contained in the 25 grams of whey was primarily, you know, reliant upon the leucine content, or whether the entire protein matrix, including the other essential amino acids and the other non-essential amino acids, were relevant in terms of the response, both in terms of magnitude and in terms of duration. So what they did was pretty ingenious. They basically constituted three groups. First was a conventional whey protein isolate of 25 grams net that contained, you know, the 3 grams of leucine. The second group was a quarter of that amount of whey protein, so 6.25 grams of whey with leucine enrichment to bring up the leucine content to 3.0 grams.
You know, it's funny. It was before you even mentioned it, I was going to ask you if they've ever done something like that. This is a cool study to see if it actually, the leucine is important or if it's the total protein. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Next group.
Then the third group was actually 6.25 grams away, so a quarter of the dose, you know, total composite whey, with an amino acid enrichment of essential amino acids equivalent to 25 grams of whey, with the exception of leucine. So they added free-form amino acids to constitute a supplement of 6.25 grams of whey with all of the essential amino acids of 25 grams of whey, with the exception of leucine.
Gotcha.
So there were three groups.
Excluded the leucine.
What they did then was to test the stimulation of fractional muscle protein synthesis in two conditions. One is the resting fed state, in other words, not associated with particular timing of exercise, but simply, you know, postprandial after ingestion of the three supplements. Then they repeated the same dosing schedule immediately after a bout of resistance exercise. Excuse me. And what they found was very interesting. With respect to the initial, by that I mean the period of 1 to 3 hours after cessation of exercise, and in the resting fed state, the maximal rates of muscle protein synthesis across the three groups were equivalent.
Interesting.
Now, that's very interesting because in the third group, which was the 6.25 grams away with the essential amino acids equivalent to 25 grams minus the leucine component,
right,
that group had a leucine about 0.75 grams. And yet that 0.75 gram was sufficient to stimulate at an absolute level the same amount of fractional synthesis as the other two groups, which would tend to discount a lot of the literature that has popped up in the last 5 years that essentially has put a preeminent emphasis on the role of leucine in initiating the signaling cascade that ultimately leads to enhanced translation of muscle proteins.
Right, and you've talked about that many a times, you know, about the fact that the animal protein is superior.
In the conference this weekend, we'll actually have a little animated video that shows how this is brought about. The interesting thing was that although the responses of 1 to 3 hours were equivalent, the only protein source which was able to sustain a response in the 3 to 5 hour window was the intact 25 grams of whey protein group. And that essentially would indicate what I've been saying for a long time, and that is there's a complex interaction in this system that is dependent upon, you know, complete array of amino acid availability, not just the essential amino acids, which has heretofore been the focus of all the studies that, you know, sort of look at this. What this really shows is that minimal amounts of leucine or essential amino acids minus leucine, in other words, a bare minimum of about 0.75 grams of leucine, are capable in the context of, you know, associated delivery of at least some other amino acids. And in the case of the complete way, the major differential here is the inclusion of several of the non-essential amino acids.
Right.
And it's probably the presence of those non-essential amino acids that are responsible for the sustained response profile at 3 to 5 hours post-exercise.
Which is what you want, obviously.
Right. And this, you know, sort of flies in the face of all of the material that has been emphasized, not only in the literature, but the marketplace, that, you know, you need to focus rather relentlessly on this post-exercise window of stimulation opportunity to affect maximal gains. What this would suggest is that that's really not true. What you need to focus on is a constant delivery of a balanced amino acid mixture, as would be found in animal or dairy proteins. And you need to really do that all day long.
Interesting.
For example, there's a recent discussion at the Nestle Symposium that dealt with these exercise adaptations, where it was, you know, very pointed discussion about this post-exercise window dissipating fairly quickly. And in particular, individuals who are looking at this from the standpoint of what should their focus be on in terms of protein supplementation, to narrowly restrict your focus on the you know, 3 to 5 hour window post-exercise is really a fallacy, because, you know, there are energy sensors in the cell that are closely annexed or associated with mTOR, AMPK, and the other systems that regulate mitochondrial energy dissipation, like the CERT, you know, cytokines that have a potent ability to regulate crosstalk between insulin-sensitive tissues like fat and muscle. So one of the reiterations of my theory dating back now 30 years is that there are signals that initiate these processes, and there are composite mixtures of nutrients that sustain them. And that was, of course, the basis of the original metrics formulation, which has now been revamped in Physique 2.0.
And I want to ask you about that, because, I mean, metrics, it seems like such a perfect formulation at the time, and that was developed in like early 90s. Has Physique 2.0, the new product, which I know, supposedly, according to Vince Andrich, I have samples in the mail coming to me, is this something one step better? Have you made it better? And what could possibly make the original better?
Well, what's made the original better is, you know, some more nuanced information about the subtleties of the amino acid fluxes that are operative in this anabolic cascade. And very importantly, I might add, the availability of this new novel RS4 carbohydrate source. I think that people are going to find that if they dose themselves adequately with this product, we have a pretty high concentration of that material in each serving of this new product.
Right.
And there's abundant data now that suggests that with respect specifically to the partitioning influences of, you know, the protein cocktail, in combination specifically, again, with the partitioning influences afforded by resistance training, that there is an independent and additive effect on oxidation specifically afforded by this new RS4 component.
Wow.
So whereas the initial metrics formulation relied upon the relationship quantitatively between the intersection of anabolic processes in muscle and its dependence on monitoring constant energy supply via one particular position in the Krebs cycle, the the 2-oxoglutarate step. That was the principal mechanism whereby the fat loss that was, you know, obtained by most metrics users was quite substantial. I think you'll remember that.
Yeah, it was.
And that was an amino acid driven phenomenon, which I still exploited in the current product. However, the addition of the RS4 has made the fat oxidation potential actually much more grandiose.
Without going into too much detail, what exactly is the RS4? Because I know people are saying in their head, I don't know what he's talking about. What does give us a quick definition of that?
The RS4 stands for resistant starch type 4. And the type 4 is the very unusual compound in the sense that it's very different from the other RS1, 2, and 3 compounds, which have been, you know, available for a while now, in that it enjoys a fairly unique metabolic cycling in the gut. And it interacts very potently with enteric hormones, things that, you know, like the GLP-1s and things like that, that have an enormous impact on energy balance, if and only if you take enough of it. And so that's the reason that we've specifically dosed it in each serving at the level that we have. Now, this is the reason that when people try this product, they will notice immediately a granularity in the mouthfeel.
Yeah,
that granularity fiber is contributed by the RS4.
Is that like a fiber? It's more of a fibrous carb then, not resistantly absorbed?
It is chemically a fiber. That, I mean, you know, the definition chemically of fiber is indigestible carbohydrate.
True. Right.
So this carbohydrate, like other resistant starches, is processed largely by gut microflora in a fermentation way.
Which is good, because a lot of people don't realize that when you ferment this stuff in the gut, it restricts or will hold the liver back from cranking out tons of glucose too. Isn't that true?
Yeah, the intersection of this molecule with control of lipid synthesis and oxidation and glucoregulation is quite profound. The animal studies that have been done on it are really quite impressive. And, you know, there is a very specific elucidation of the fact that when you use in an animal model exercise and the administration of this particular resistant starch in combination, there is an independent and synergistic effect primarily on fat oxidation. So with this new blend, I think people are going to notice even more obvious body composition changes. In other words, they will find themselves getting leaner at a much earlier, you know, point in time than they
did original
with the previous metrics product.
Yeah. And I think that makes sense. And yeah, I'm a big advocate of fibers type carbs, especially because of, like you said, the resistant nature of absorbing it and the glucose and the insulin lowering effect. Let me ask you this question, because recently, and I don't know what the reason is, you could probably tell me better than I already know, but the prices of whey protein, the roof, I mean, not only for the consumer, but for the manufacturer as well. And a lot of companies have pared back and have put pea protein in their products. They've used soy. They've used everything but whey, or they've at least watered it down enough to kind of bring their pricing down. Obviously, you've indicated why whey is so important in the dosages it is. Why is whey protein so high all of a sudden, the pricing?
Well, that largely is, you know, a market-driven phenomenon. The demand for protein, milk proteins in particular, worldwide has gone through the roof. As you know, the catastrophic earthquake in Japan created a sort of panic buying spree from the Far East. Mm. There was actually some hoarding going on that jacked the prices up incrementally.
Didn't know that.
And since then, you know, all other additive costs, transportation, because a lot of these producers are not domestic, has added to the cost. And essentially, whey is, or dairy proteins in general, are now in such demand that there's now a little dairy protein OPEC type phenomenon occurring.
It sounds like it's like oil almost, yeah.
Yeah, well, and it's really bad news bears, because the dairy protein superiority in comparison to all other available protein sources. And people are now using, as you said, things like rice and pea protein, et cetera, et cetera. And they're, you know, their positioning is that, well, some of these things have amino acid profiles that are similar to dairy, but they miss the point that, especially the kinds of dairy proteins that I use, have very, very significant additional components that are non-amino acid components that have very profound effects on these metabolic exchange coordinate loops. And from my standpoint, it's terrible that the prices have gone where they are currently. However, I would defy anyone to find a protein of even near equal efficacy in terms of all of the metabolic endpoints of impact that, you know, the dairy proteins that are quite selectively processed afford the consumer at any price comparable to what, you know, you would pay to get these kinds of effects. So, again, the issue is, to me, you need to leverage protein's unique role in body partitioning. The best possible source for that is dairy, without a doubt.
And
in the world,
experimentally been proven over and over.
Very unfortunate that the cost has gone where it has. My prediction is that the cost will come down.
Oh, it will?
Because obviously the dairy proteins are not being, you know, sold to groups that are disparate from what the people who were buying them 5 years ago.
Scott, why can't we? You would think this country, we got cows everywhere. How can we don't make enough dairy, enough whey in this country? We got to go to China? I didn't even know they had cows in China.
Well, there is, you know, a significant dairy industry in this country, but there are competing nations who for decades have had, you know, the support of their governments to develop, you know, avant-garde uses for these proteins. So, you know, whereas the United States has paid farmers to pour milk down the drain for a number of years and not spend any money to facilitate dairy science research, places like Ireland, Australia, et cetera, China, have all had extensive and, you know, substantive government support for dairy science research. In other words, in New Zealand, they were long ago looking at some of the more nuanced, rarefied molecular biological applications of dairy protein components and not just spitting out butter, milk, and ice cream.
What a bunch of dummies we are in this country. Holy mackerel. I can't believe it.
Well, again, a lot of this stuff is, you know, the fault of the U.S. government and their stupid subsidy programs. It's absurd. But it is about, what it is.
Too worried about corn, that's why.
Well, you know, that's a whole other issue.
I know, let's not go into
the
that.
Corn subsidy is probably the worst thing to happen in the nutritional ecology of the United States.
It ruined everything in this country. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, we're going to have the Scott Connolly Myotropics Physique Nutrition Seminar Series. Will be taking place this Saturday, April 14th in Culver City, California. That'll be at the NPC IFBB Grand Prix Los Angeles. That's John Lindsay's show. We'll be holding the seminar about 4 o'clock between the pre-judging and the night show. And Scott's going to have all his animations with him. He's going to give a great seminar on why a calorie is not a calorie. I'll be up there answering questions. We have Matt Krishner, IFBB Men's Physique Pro. We have Ian Lauer, Vince Andrich, and it's going to be a great event. I really highly recommend anyone who's in the LA area to stop by. And for those of you who can't make it, we're going to be videoing the event, so that'll be up on the RX Muscle website. Scott, I will see you, I guess, Saturday.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, that's all there is. We'll see you next week on Muscle University.
This has been another episode of Physique Star Radio, exclusively on RxMuscle.com. Be sure to visit Myotropics.com for the most innovative physique nutrition supplements available today.